Radio Buddhist Youth Association. Hello, everybody. You're listening to the sound of universal compassion. Today's the 8th of December. We will continue listening to Master Tenjin Chosen's previous program, Meditation, Dying, and Karma. And please enjoy.
This show is brought to you by the Buddhist Youth Association every Sunday, bringing Buddhism to the community of the Waikato. We also give away a range of free English or Chinese Buddhism books, MP3, or tapes on Buddhism. If you'd like one, please send a letter with $3 worth of stamps in an envelope to P.O. Box 82146, Highland Park, Howick, Auckland. Or you can phone 09271-3377. Buddhist Youth Association, respectful, beneficial, empowering. I wonder if you've been thinking over the suffering of cyclic existence over the last week. Or do you think it's better to soldier on, pretending that life is a great and wonderful adventure? The trouble with not thinking deeply about our predicament is that we never seriously think of getting out of it. We're like the wild elephants in India that are caught in the jungle and tied by a leg to a large tree with a very strong chain. No matter how the elephant tries to get away, he cannot. He's always shackled by the chain. Then, as he's trained and becomes more tame, the size of the chain is reduced, but because he still believes it's unbreakable, he no longer tries to get away. Eventually, you could tie him to the tree with a rope. He could easily snap, but he still wouldn't escape. As long as we believe we can't get out of cyclic existence, or that cyclic existence is a place of pleasure, we will never want to get out. So we will not make any effort to become liberated. We'll just accept our unhappiness and try, I guess, to make the best of things. But if we really think about the suffering of cyclic existence until it becomes plain that everything we do leads to misery, we will become desperate to escape. Looking for a way out, we'll have a good chance to come across the Buddhist teachings and so develop renunciation and practice the path to leave this insanity behind us forever. So it's very important to think again and again about the various sufferings we have to go through in this type of existence. Samsaric sufferings are described both as specific to their realms and general. Over the last 2 weeks, we've looked at the 8 sufferings that the Buddha listed in the first turning of the Wheel of Dharma, when he said that birth, aging, sickness, death, not meeting what we want, meeting what we don't want, not getting what we desire, and taking on the 5 aggregates all lead to dissatisfaction. This week we're going to look at a 6-point description for those who don't have so much time to think about the general miseries of cyclic existence. But before we do that, let's take a moment to set motivation, as we usually do with this program. We can have many motivations for the actions we create, and each creates its own result. The best motivation for any action, as I've said previously, is to realize our highest potential so that we can benefit both ourselves and everyone else we meet up with. From a Buddhist perspective, realizing our highest potential means, of course, attaining Buddhahood. That is the best, because not only will we then be free of all our own suffering, but we'll be best able to help others be free of theirs. So let's make that our motivation for the program today. And if you can, for all your actions today. Thank you. So now the 6 sufferings. These are uncertainty, dissatisfaction, taking bodies again and again, discarding bodies again and again, constantly seesawing between high and low status, and always traveling alone. Okay, so you're not going to remember all those from that list, so let's go through them one by one. First, uncertainty. If you think about the things you do, you can see that mostly you're trying to get some stability and security in your life. For most people, the thought of being uncertain about their living arrangements, their food, and even their relationships from day to day is stressful. It may be okay when you're young and think sleeping under a tree quite fun. But as you get older, and not too much older, we all want some certainty and stability in our lives. But unfortunately, stability is in very short supply in cyclic existence. Think of the person or thing that appears to you the most reliable in your life. Perhaps you may think of your partner, be you married or not. In the West, a marriage ceremony often includes something like the traditional, do you promise to love, comfort, honor, and keep so-and-so for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and health, and forsaking all others, be faithful only to him or her, so long as you shall both live. In other words, we're ostensibly making a commitment to the other person for the rest of our lives. But can we really say that commitment will definitely be honored? Can we definitely say that we will still be with the same partner in 2 or 5 or 10 years' time? Actually, we can't even say for sure we'll still be with them in 6 months, never mind for years. It might be like the marriage of Britney Spears and Jason Alexander, done by 5:30 in the morning and over just a few hours later. That's a bit of a joke, but it makes the point. And if it's true of marriages, it's even more so of friendships. Your friend only has to say a couple of sentences you take exception to, and your friendly feelings change, and you become a little antagonistic. If the friend again says something you don't like, you may start thinking this is not such a good friend after all, and after one or two more incidents, you refuse to have anything more to do with them and now regard them as an enemy. How many times have you heard of people who were once the closest of buddies but became the worst of enemies, or vice versa? One of the most famous Buddhist examples is, of course, Devadatta and the Buddha himself. Devadatta was the Buddha's cousin and early on joined the Buddha's Sangha as a monk. He became quite accomplished in psychic powers and was at first a good monk. But later he became quite conceited and jealous of the Buddha. One day, he asked the Buddha to make him the head of the Sangha, but the Buddha, knowing he wasn't fit for it, refused. Devadatta became very angry, and from that time on, tried to harm the Buddha, even up to the point of killing him. Of course, he couldn't. Later in life, Devadatta became very ill, and knowing he was going to die and realizing that he had been wrong, developed friendly feelings to the Buddha again, and wanted to go and ask forgiveness from him. However, it was too late, and he died before he could see the Buddha. It just indicates how in cyclic existence, even the friends of the Buddha could become enemies and then friends again. How much more for us? We really can't expect any of our relationships to be reliable for any length of time. It's the same with everything we come into contact with. One day we can be rich, the next we are struggling even to get enough food to eat. This has happened to so many people in the recent recession. How many people have lost their homes and all their savings? It's so common these days, the New Zealand Herald ran a series of people's stories not so long ago. At times, it may not be so common, but uncertainty is always with us. We can't be sure of our friends, our wealth, or our health. One day we're feeling fine, the next day we can be practically ready for an ambulance. Nothing in cyclic existence is ever sure. Even going from one life to the next, we can't be certain. In this life, I've always had everything I've needed. I've never gone hungry from one day to the next. I've been very fortunate with exceptionally good health and have never had to battle with people who hated me. In fact, by far the majority of people I've come across have been exceptionally kind and helpful. Just because of that experience, I might think it will be so again in my next life, but that is just wishful thinking. I really have no idea what will happen. I could be a begging dalit in Calcutta with never more than a couple of rupees to my name and only eating one small meal every 2 days. Or I could be the Sultan of Brunei. This is all assuming I come back to this world, that is. In his letter to a friend, the Buddhist master Nagarjuna wrote, "Fathers become sons, mothers become wives. Those who are enemies become friends. Friends may become the opposite and change again. Cyclic existence holds not a shred of certainty." Cyclic existence is also filled with dissatisfaction. How much do you have in the bank? Is it enough? I bet you said no. even though you may have hundreds of thousands of dollars. I bet you still go to work every day to earn more, just to make sure. Late last year, Dalton Conley, a New Zealand sociologist, wrote in an article in the New York Times, "It is now the rich who are the most stressed out and the most likely to be working the most." Perhaps for the first time since we've kept track of such things, higher income folks work more hours than lower wage earners do. Since 1980, the number of men in the bottom fifth of the income ladder who work long hours, that's over 49 hours per week, has dropped by half, according to a study by the economists Peter Kuhn and Fernando Lozano. But among the top fifth of earners, long weeks have increased by 80%. This is a stunning moment in economic history. At one time, we worked hard so that someday we or our children wouldn't have to. Today, the more we earn, the more we work, since the opportunity cost of not working is all the greater, and since the higher we go, the more relatively deprived we feel. In other words, instead of using their hard-earned money to relax and enjoy life, high earners feel even more pressure to work, since the shadow costs of not working are all the greater. No matter how much they earn, enough is never enough. It's like that not only with money, though. The technological revolution has accentuated our constant need to get the latest and greatest. Every time Apple brings out a new iPhone or iPod, people form long queues to be the first to get one, even though it was only a year or a few months since they had queued to get the previous one. No matter what we have, our sense of dissatisfaction will interfere, and soon we'll be looking for something better. I like telling the story of visiting a friend one day to find he had bought himself a beautiful new stereo with all the bells and whistles you could wish for. It had surround sound and enough dials and knobs to make it look like you needed a special license to operate it. I, of course, admired it, but my friend didn't look all that pleased. I asked him what was wrong, and he said the sound was fine, but he was a bit disappointed because one of the dials was not backlit. He thought that for the money he had paid for it, at least the dial should have lit up. The Buddha once said that if someone owned the whole world, he would still be thinking how to extend his influence. And so now we have space travel, and even if we reached the limits of the universe, we would still want to know and own whatever is on the other side. The Buddha also said that the greatest wealth is contentment. Even a great king without contentment is a poor man. The third of the six sufferings is having to take birth again and again. While we are under the influence of karma and afflictive emotion, we will always be pushed willy-nilly through the six realms of cyclic existence. In this life we are humans, but when this life comes to an end, we will have to be born as something else. Maybe a human again, but perhaps an animal or insect. What do you feel when you come across a cockroach in your kitchen? I'd say most of us immediately feel disgust to the point of even wanting to kill it. But we've been a cockroach just like that so many times in the past we couldn't count them. We've eaten every imaginable bit of rubbish. For instance, as a dung beetle, we've consumed so much dung that if we added it all up, the pile would be much bigger than Mount Everest. We can't say how many times we've been born into the hell realms, but certainly enough times for us to call those realms our home. We've also been born into the God realms, where we've experienced pleasure beyond our current imaginings. But it hasn't lasted, and we died there and had to take another rebirth. And so it goes on and on, as long as we don't do something to get out of cyclic existence. Then if we've taken birth so many times, it means we've also discarded bodies uncountable times. How do you feel about your body right now? Most people will find it difficult to part with their body, even though it might be ugly or old. But we have to say goodbye to bodies we were attached to umpteen times. Sometimes it's been the body of a king, adorned with many fine clothes and jewels, and fed on the most delicious foods. But still, we had to give it up to perhaps take another body in the hell realm. Sometimes it's been the body of an amazingly beautiful person everyone wants to be seen with, like Richard Gere. When I was in Bodh Gaya some years ago, one night the followers of a great lama by the name of Lama Zopa Rinpoche held a magnificent long life puja in his honor. Actually, it was one of the times His Holiness the Dalai Lama was teaching at Bodh Gaya, so lots of people were there, one of whom was Richard Gere, who's an ardent follower of His Holiness. But anyway, Richard Gere came to the puja for Lama Zopa Rinpoche and was, of course, given a seat in the front with all the other honored guests. At one time, people queued up to give offerings to Lama Zopa Rinpoche, who was sitting on a high throne, and not much else was going on. The people sitting next to Richard Gere got up to make offerings, and immediately some others, who'd been sitting further back, rushed up, took the seats next to the actor, and got their friends or family to take photos of them sitting next to him. This went on for quite some time. Lots of people wanted a record to show that they had sat next to Richard Gere. It was very strange. But can we say Richard Gere will be born into such an attractive body in his next life? Perhaps he may be the cockroach your son or daughter wants to squash as soon as they see it. We've been in so many wars and conflicts in previous lives that it's said if we were to pile the heads that were cut off our previous bodies up, the pile would be greater than the highest mountain in the universe. And we've been parted from loved ones and cried so many times that if we were to collect all the tears, they would fill oceans. Again, we will have to experience all these things again many, many times in the future if we don't make an effort to get out of cyclic existence. Another suffering is constantly changing status. A verse in the transmission of Vinaya Sutra says, collection ends in dispersal, rising and falling, meeting ends in separation, birth ends in death. No matter what we collect, whether it be wealth, possessions, titles, in the end, we will lose it. It will all become the property of others. I know I've mentioned Bernie Madoff many times, but he's such a good example. Think about the vast riches and many possessions he accumulated. Now it's all in the hands of the state and will be distributed to his creditors. He's sitting in jail, basically a bankrupt man. But in terms of cyclic existence, he's quite typical. Even if he had not been caught and had lived with his riches until he died, once he was buried, that wealth would have been distributed to a host of others, creditors, relatives, the taxman, and so on. And it's not only wealth. In cyclic existence, once you're in the highest position, there's only one way to go, down, and that's definite. President George Bush, for a time, was the most popular man in America and ostensibly the most powerful man in the world. But by the time he left office, he was in disgrace, both in America and throughout the rest of the world. But we don't have to go all the way to America to discover the fall of the high. We can just remember Robert Muldoon in our own country. For some years, he was the people's darling who couldn't do much wrong. But by the end of his rule, his reputation had plummeted and his government was defeated. And even now, New Zealand history doesn't remember him too kindly. Rising and falling aren't only constricted to this life. From life to life, as we've mentioned previously, we go from a good situation to a nasty one, from a high pleasure to the greatest pain, from a life of great fame to the life of disgrace. Do you know that poem by Percy Bysshe Shelley called Ozymandias? It goes like this. I met a traveller from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tells that its sculpture well those passions read which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal these words appear, my name is Ozymandias, king of kings, look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing besides remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. Once a great and mighty king, what happened to Ozymandias and his great empire? And as we know, every meeting meets in separation. No relationship, no matter how intimate and loving, will last forever. We might write songs about how we will love our dear one forever, but the fact is that this cyclic existence and forever is just a hallucination. Every marriage will end, either by divorce or by death. No friendship will last forever. People argue and become enemies, or move to other countries, or just die. How many of your friends from school do you still know? In fact, how many lifelong friends do you have? But how many people in your whole life have you regarded as your friend? Certainly many of the people I was on fairly intimate terms with 20 years ago, before I was a Buddhist, I would now hardly recognize. And if I stopped being a Buddhist now, I wonder how quickly I would drift from all the people in the Tibetan Buddhist scene at the moment. And finally, birth ends in death. Just by being born, we are destined to die. There's no help for that. We can't escape no matter what we do. The final suffering of the six is loneliness. This means that as we travel through cyclic existence, we do so entirely alone. No one can go with us as we die in one life and take birth in the next. For a while, within a life, we associate with a variety of other beings, but we can only be their companions for a short time, and then we move on. And even while others are our companions, they cannot help us experience our suffering. Of course, they can hold our hand and make soothing sounds, but the pain is all ours and ours alone. We create the causes for it through our actions, and we have to experience the consequences entirely by ourselves. You know, even if you spend your whole life with another person, eating with them, sleeping with them, doing everything together, in the end, you will leave them behind and have to go on alone. No choice. So those are the six sufferings. Now we don't have much time left, but let's do a short meditation on them, and then next week we can go through them again more extensively. First, sit for a moment and bring your mind onto your breath, letting the thoughts come and go without interference. Stability and security. Also remember how difficult it is to find any long-lasting satisfaction. Whatever we have, we always want more or better. We're never content. Furthermore, we move from life to life, taking bodies again and again, and endlessly discarding bodies again and again. We fall from high status to low, and never know from one life to the next whether we will be a king or a beggar. And we're essentially alone. Our birth is alone, our death is alone, and all our suffering we take on alone. Meditate for a while on such existences. positive potential from this program to your purpose, especially gaining enlightenment, not only for your own benefit, but for that of others as well. Thank you. Now time is up and we must go. Thank you for joining us, and I hope you'll be with us again next week. Goodbye.